New Thinking Aloud is a non-profit endeavor. Your contributions to the New Thinking Aloud Foundation make a meaningful difference in our ability to produce new videos. You can now download a free PDF copy or purchase a beautiful printed edition of Issue 5 of the New Thinking Aloud magazine.
Thinking Aloud. Conversations on the leading edge of knowledge and discovery with psychologist Jeffrey Mishlov.
Hello and welcome. I'm Emmy Vadnais, co-host with Jeffrey Mishlov. Our topic today is listening to the invisible world with my guest, Olga Strashun, who is a medical doctor, doctor of acupuncture, researcher, teacher and healer. She underwent training in the Subtle Energy Research Laboratory founded by the USSR Ministry of Space, where she learned how to diagnose and heal using subtle energy. She is author of Subtle Energy, Information to Enhance, Guide, and Heal. If you enjoy this program, please like, subscribe, press the bell icon, and share. Olga is located in Toronto, Canada. Now I'll switch over to the internet video.
Welcome, Olga. I am so excited to have you with me on New Thinking Aloud today.
Amy, I'm so happy to be invited and that you created a space for us to talk about mesmerizing subject of invisible world of subtle energy.
To get us started, can you take us back to the USSR, when you were in Russia as a physician, and how you became interested in subtle energy?
I got aware about the invisible world of subtle energy in 1987. At that time, I was a medical doctor of internal medicine working at emergency ward of the hospital. And with 10 years of experience. And at that point, already for quite a few years, I was looking for a system that would help chronically ill patients to have a better life and to help me in diagnostics, because medicine in Russia was very poor, and working in two good-sized city hospitals, neither one of them had even an ultrasound machine. So I tried different things and decided to add a specialization in acupuncture. You had to be a medical doctor at the time to get into the college, and I started my 5.5 months training. At the same time, and this is what very intriguing, at the same time, I was suggested to visit the laboratory. Later, what came out that this place was founded in 1983 by the USSR Ministry of Space, Russian NASA, with research around how and where to use this type of energy. It was not about how to prove. It was already beyond that time. How and where to use this type of energy. So I started to attend these seminars that the head of this laboratory, Dr. Vadim Polyakov, who was a physicist, was giving weekly seminars dedicated to different types of meditation to develop, as I understood later, our abilities to concentrate and our extrasensory perception. And the rest was to help him to develop his method that he came up with of evaluating health of patients without talking to them and seeing them, just using images of their organs that he called holograms. For that, the group had to concentrate on somebody's name that we never met before, and let's say, use the image of that person's liver, hanging it in front of us in the air, and immediately this image becomes 3D form. You can go around and move around and inside because it has depth. And try to evaluate sensation coming from that image, moving hand over this 3D form, and try to explain what we sensed. So I became very intrigued with this idea, and I had perfect environment, my hospital. So I decided to test it. And whenever I had time, during my 24 hours shifts, I would hide behind the wall, that not to raise questions about my sanity, and do what I was doing in the lab, hanging organ after organ in the air of a person who was in a stretcher. I had no idea how that who it was, and come up with a conclusion, sensing, evaluating my sensation on my hand. Left hand, because it's more sensitive tool, if it was something failing or organs in inflammation or tumors or stones in organs, and then go to the patient on a stretcher and go through my medical doctor routine and compare the results. And this is what came out in a few weeks. Was incredible, because even what would be a heresy to think about was a reality. We can diagnose without talking, without seeing patient, just using holograms of patient's organs. So I became absolutely excited. And when time came after 2 years in a lab, the idea of trying to fight for my medical doctor's license after coming to Canada was not on my list. I needed to go deeper into this subject. So you can't shake it off. You have to do it.
Yeah. Dr. Polyakov was working with Russian astronauts at the time, and part of his job was to find the best methods to help them stay well or healthy. In fact, there's a story in your book about how he was selected for that position in his interview.
Yes, yes, you're absolutely right. You know everything what is in my book now. he was first professor of physics, teaching at Flight Academy, Civic Flight Academy. But he was into yoga heavily, into Raja Yoga, when you use mind to improve things. Not movements, not hatha. So he was teaching his students, future pilots, how to control their thoughts, how to become balanced, and yoga at up to 86, let's say, was absolutely prohibited in Russia. You could have ended up in jail if you would try to share your knowledge with other people. And he was fired. And for 2 years he was without any job, but people knew him and told about his abilities to Ministry of Space. And he was invited to come to Moscow. And what he told me, he was given, let's say, 10 photographs of different people who were astronauts, and been asked a specific question, who you would not take on a long mission. And doing whatever he was able to do, I don't know exactly details, he showed the pinpoint one photograph, and he said, I would never take him on a mission. And came out that that man was in a long time mission, and they had to bring him as emergency down to to the country because he developed excruciating headaches. What came out? That he had brain tumor, and it was undetected. And of course, ministry lost so much money. And he said that was the reason. He didn't need to say more. It was the reason for them to found the laboratory working under his knowledge. So this is how it was founded in 1983.
You also share how he was able to provide healing to the astronauts while they were out in space.
Yes. So can you imagine? You get into this place, and I had no idea about this type of energy whatsoever, even slightest idea. And you start to hear about the calls from Ministry of Space asking him to help astronauts on a mission with back problems, with headaches, not a serious but accident. And he was dealing with them like they were in his room. So from the very beginning, it gave me this vision of uniqueness of that type of energy.
He was able to, for example, stabilize blood pressure and help with headaches and back pain.
Yes. And they were there, upstairs in the mission, in the shuttle. Yeah.
How did you get involved with this program?
Somebody just suggested me to visit this laboratory. And I had no idea about this type of energy. I said, what for? I'm so busy. I am in a course of acupuncture. I am working at the hospital. I have family. And that man said to me, you will be able to diagnose better. And that was a mantra for me. So I immediately ran to that place, and it was available for anybody who wanted to come from the street, hearing about his seminars and participate in his weekly seminars. And then it was a selection. He selected people who he saw with potential, and this is how we've been involved with more things.
Yeah.
My main role was to develop method of diagnostics, because I was working in a perfect environment. And whatever was coming from his brilliant mind, I participated as much as I was asked.
Dr. Polyakov taught you how to diagnose, and you mentioned earlier about hanging the organs in the air with holograms, and you also were part of experiments and did research there with him as well.
Yes, there were three types. It was my last year. It was three types of experiments. Of course, long-lasting, over 2 years, diagnostic method of diagnostic that we already talked about. And there were another two types of experiments when power of thoughts was used during the experiments to prove that focused thoughts affect matter. And another type of focused thoughts help to increase potential of people, if you kind of try to do this. And the first one, affecting matter, was very interesting. A few experiments when electroencephalograms were taken from both of us. And he was playing that time the most fashionable game of Tetris that had 7 levels of difficulties. He was at the computer and with electroencephalogram taking, and I was sitting in the room and was commanded to make one person from two of us. Nothing else. I was explained nothing else. So I immediately imagine us in a big bubble, and I connected our chakras and mixed energy from me and him coming from the chakras and send this mixture to him and to me and going through all of them. And that experiment lasted for 2.5 hours. This is what I came up. It was kind of right away idea. Maybe now I would have come up with something else. What came out? Originally we had different pictures of electroencephalogram, and after 15-20 minutes of me concentrating on the images, the picture became identical. And it was not lasting through 2.5 hours, but lasting for 15-20 minutes, then going back to originals, and then go back again to the same picture. And this back and forth was during these 2.5 hours. It was incredible information for me as a medical doctor, what we can do with our thoughts, if we can change such a fundamental picture of electroencephalogram, what else we can do, right?
Yeah.
Another part of that experiment we did a few times, they separated us, put us, me, in a camera, that chamber that was built to prevent any electromagnetic field coming inside the camera chamber. And my task was, while he was still playing this game without electroencephalograms this time, I had a task to stimulate him, and without any explanation, do whatever you want. And at that time, I already knew about the main road, main channel through which energy, this kind of divine power, this unified energy coming to us, penetrating the aura, coming to the top of the head, goes inside the head, along the spine, into the legs and arms in the middle. This is a channel where this energy pulsates. It's a pulse. And by the way, it's a pulse correlating to pulse outside of us in a space. And I knew that it will be already in us too. I was practicing that. But it's how energy works. If you're in resonance, if you're watching the stream of energy going either inside you or in somebody else, and in sync, when it goes down, 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 then it stops, and then it goes up, 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 you automatically increasing amplitude dramatically. And that what came out, that he was able to be on a seventh level for all 5 hours, which is difficult to imagine because person has to be very concentrated and 5 hours. So they came up with the conclusion that it was given some extra potential.
Wow, those are fantastic experiences. It sounds like when he was playing the game, like you say, you were boosting his energy when normally somebody after a couple hours would begin to get fatigued and not be able to concentrate as much.
Yes. He was playing 5 hours, and that we repeat twice this type of experiment, and then I left.
Yeah.
With the other experiment, you both were connected to electroencephalograms, which were reading your brain waves, and you were in separate rooms, and you were guided to make each of those readouts of the brain energy essentially to be harmonious, and you were able to do that.
Yes.
How did you do that, Olga?
I had to, in emergency, to come up with some kind of image. And image was that we are in the same bubble, and connect our chakras, because for me already chakras were playing very important role in us. So I connected through imaging them, and mixed energy coming from his chakra to my chakra, and mix and distribute mixture to him right. and to me. That was in my mind. I was making one person out of two.
It sounds like it was a very experimental environment where you were encouraged to really listen to your training, knowledge, and intuition.
Yes, Russians are very good at that, around this energy. They were advanced, definitely.
Did Dr. Polyakov teach you any foundational skills in yoga or in this subtle energy to get you going? I imagine he did. Is there any that you can share with us today?
It was different types of meditation, not many, and probably different than what is in the West. It was with this pulse of energy going through this channel, and in when you breathe in and when you breathe out, you're watching this energy running through the central front channel, and then you breathe in, and then next exhale, you watch this energy going on through the back central channel along the spine, and through the head. So it was one of these, and of course meditation on breathing, because breathing was very important to develop proper way of breathing. That was it. And the last year, it was no training, but bringing me everywhere to show that energy is everywhere. In a art environment at fantastic Russian museums, in a church, on the streets, in a subway, is everywhere. So you have this fundamental understanding that it's not just healing and diagnostic, but it's about life.
Yeah. Dr. Polyakov also would take you out into the environment for you to sense energy and in all sorts of different areas and objects and things.
Right. And this is definitely a foundation for everything. Foundation for understanding how art is working. I see Buddha behind you. It has very good energy field aura. And how it works, how we can interact with that to have this incredible extra energy accumulated through pieces of art, for example, as Buddha, as you have, as I have, icons that you can use. So this is it's extra help in life to have a boost. We need boosts, right?
Yeah. Yes, we do. At the time you were at the Ministry of Space, you were still working as a physician, and as you described, you were able to take what you learned at this Ministry of Space to diagnose using your mind, your thoughts, one could say ESP. And at that time, as you said, you didn't have any CAT scans or MRI machines, but you were able to use these methods and then actually correlate it to what you saw with your patients and their labs.
Yes, you're right. It was a absolutely superb environment for me, because the biggest problem when you start your journey into invisible world of subtle energy, it's your doubts. Am I sensing right? Am I sensing wrong? What I am sensing? Right? And it's everybody who starts this journey going through this uncertainty. I had that environment, hospital environment, when I was able to check what I sensed through on these holograms if it was correlated with the diagnosis that I was coming up using tests and the X-ray electroencephalograms, so and so on, as a medical doctor. And so it made me avoid that state of uncertainty.
It gave you confidence.
Yes, and it's incredibly important because people having these problems.
Yes, it's easy to doubt our intuition because sometimes we get information and sometimes we don't. It can seem sporadic, but it sounds like you were very much trained in meditation, concentration activities, and certain methods to receive this information, and it was validated, and so your trust increased in it.
Yes, yes. So that period of doubts didn't exist anymore. Moving from Leningrad to Canada, you trust. You know that it's the right methods, and then you develop other tools, and you continue to trust them.
Yeah,
because you had fundamental beginning.
Yes. So you left the Soviet Union in 1989. You went to Italy, and there you began using this subtle energy for healing, not just for diagnostic purposes. And then you went to Canada. Could you share a little bit about some of those experiences in Italy?
You know, when you, at the beginning of your journey, it's absolutely unknown territory. And everything you have to watch for, some unusualness that you can use as explanation of what's going on there. So in Italy, there were a lot of Russians without money and without documents waiting for third country to accept them. And so people didn't have money for medical help. And one day our friend came to us who was very much interested in subtle energy. He asked for help and he showed me his traumatized trauma in his knee because it was very swollen, very painful, hot to touch. And he asked me to help him. And I never done any healing in my 2 years in Russia. I was in diagnostic. I was a medical doctor. There was no time for healing, even to think about it. So I decided, okay, I'll try. And what I recalled, what my teacher was saying, that there are no strict rules how you do healing with energy. It's only your specific state of mind is important. And this is what he and how he explained it, that how you see the problem, what your goal gonna be to achieve the result, and then you do whatever you want in between. So I said, okay, we'll try. I asked him to put his jeans down. He sat on a chair, and I was on the floor, and I started to eliminate, imagining that I'm eliminating this water from his knee out of his leg, not touching. And that I was doing for probably 30 minutes, became half dead, and we decided to stop and see what happens, if anything, next day. And next day he came to me and he showed me the picture that was looking very strange. Knee was absolutely fine, but ankle was very, very swollen. And then I started to laugh because I recalled how I was doing that enthusiastically. And when he pulled his jeans down. They were lying on the floor around his ankles. So they definitely, jeans were blocking my free flow of my hands, eliminating from knee out out of his leg. They worked like a waste basket where all these negative energy vibrations being trapped there. So this time was everything okay. I asked him to put jeans on a chair to take them off, and this time it worked. So it was my first experiment with healing, which showed importance of precise, focused thoughts when you deal with energy, when you do healing.
A very potent response you got from that gentleman. And you also worked with somebody who was experiencing symptoms of Parkinson's.
There was only 30 days left before we would move to Toronto. And somebody, Italian family, asked, they heard about me after that healing. And they asked me to help the head of main person in the family who had very severe Parkinson's disease. And he was a young guy, 50 years old. And he was bedridden. So I had only 25 or 30 days left. So we decided that I will see him every day. And I started to use my hands on him like a type of massage, but imagining them being more flexible. And at the end of these 25 sessions, he was able to walk. So that was amazingly enthusiastic experience that I had.
Wonderful work, Olga. There might be those listening thinking, well, perhaps the placebo effect was at play. What do you have to say about that as a physician?
We all value placebo effect. We know that it exists. But that man didn't know about me, really. You know, he first time met me, his wife recommended, she said, let's try to do that kind of that massage. I doubt it. I know what you're talking about. But when you definitely tried to treat animals, right? I love to treat dogs when when I have chance, because it's real. There is no mind involved backing up with idea of placebo. You work on objective situation and they respond. Yes, there is an effect of placebo. We can't deny.
You also helped your own dog with healing.
Yes. Our dog was Dachshund, fantastic. So that time he became very sick and he was 12 years old. At that time, and we took him, Ilya and I took him to the vet, and vet said, we have to put him down. He was not drinking, he was not moving, he was lying down, and we couldn't go for that. We came home, was crying all the time, but I canceled my patients for a few days. But I decided, okay, I will put cylinder of healing energy around him. And it's a technique. You go clockwise with your image and you put layers and layers of energy around whom you want to protect, whom you want to feed with energy. It's one of the methods of kind of psychic self-defense. And I was doing it quite a few times during the day. And in 3 days, I think in 3 days, it was already 30 years ago or 25 years ago, He started to bring to a little bit move his head. He started to drink water from my palm, and he lived for happily for a whole year after that, being very, very sick. But that was amazing experience. We had extra year of happy life with him in the family.
When you were first learning these various methods, you described in your book about how your concentration was very short, your attention span, but you kept at it and your concentration did increase. And so I just want to encourage those who may be listening and want to develop some of this themselves that to keep at it. So how long did it take for you to really begin to focus, for you to begin to see the results with subtle energy?
It's an important question because, as we know, it's an unknown territory, right? We have to be equipped. And during these meditation sessions, I was suffering, really suffering with inability to follow the images. And after 8 classes of these seminars, I came home and I said, this is it. I can't do it. A lot of them can do it. I feel so uncomfortable. I am not capable. And my husband said, try a couple more times. Mm-hmm. And yes, it took me probably 7, 8, 9 weeks of daily meditation to be able to follow images. Mm-hmm. And then it became easier, but it's not the right way.
What would you say subtle energy is?
If you allow me, I will use idea of David Bohm, because nobody explained it better than him. He saw the world consisting of two parts. One part that he called explicate order, the world that we see with our own eyes, the world of solidity of things, the world where we are born and eventually die, and he called it explicate order. And the deepest level of reality, the deepest, that he called implicate order, with quantum potential field there, in our vocabulary, because there is different vocabulary about this power around the world. With our vocabulary, we can say it, it's vibrational world of subtle energy. It's in the deepest layer of reality, where this power penetrates the whole space without notion of locality, without notion of direction, and carrying all possible programs for all possible existences in the world. It's in the deepest layer of reality, and subtle energy is what is in the deepest level of reality of our life. It's a type of energy, as I said, no location, no direction, everywhere, and working under completely different set of laws of nature than we studied at school. And these vibrations carry information. And as everything requires in that absolutely unknown territory, we need training. We can train ourselves. If we become curious about this mesmerizing world, we can go through training. This is a moving factor. And we can train ourselves to decode this information. What it means, what it could be related to, it's a process.
Why do you think we need to get into a focused or meditative state of mind or consciousness to be able to be aware that we're perceiving the subtle energy, because it's already there, right?
Very good question. Because this is the name of this energy, subtle energy that we have in North America, right? In Russia and Europe, they call it bioenergy, pranachi, name it, quantum potential field. Vibrations are so subtle that we cannot detect them unless we start to focus on them, and effect of resonance automatically multiply the amplitude, and become these vibrations become available for our analysis. Otherwise, passing by in a room, I don't sense it. Unless I want to sense something that one object or people in a room, and that gives me possibility through resonance to amplify these vibrations and make them detectable.
How much of a role do thoughts play in subtle energy?
Everything. Everything, because, and it's a, one of the principles of subtle energy, our thoughts are the pure form of subtle energy, pure form. And this pure form affect matter. So everything around us, and us included, we function under two sets of laws of nature. One is for world of solidity, where we're born and eventually die. And another is for vibrational deepest layer of reality, where thoughts, just vibrations, holographic kind of images of anything, because there are dual nature of everything, a particle and extension, vibrational extension, auras. So everything works under this set of laws. And thoughts, we can shake them off. We all the time carrying important thoughts or this noise in the head. It's interacting with the vibration part of the world, the rest that is around us.
And thoughts can affect what we perceive as solid or physical matter.
Absolutely. And it, you need evidence to believe in that. And as we already discussed it, I had it from the very beginning of my journey into this world. And you start to affect the way how you see your thinking. You start our culture. Never in Russia, in America, my mother was a psychiatrist. She never said to me, be careful how you think. Okay? Mm-hmm. And then you discover that thoughts are so powerful and they affect matter that you start to be very careful about how you think, what you think. You try to train yourself to get rid of this noise in your head, and it's a very different way of attitude when you get into this world, and you know how this, even to some extent, because so much have to be discovered about this energy. But even what I know, it makes very different the process of thinking for you.
In addition to thoughts, emotions can also impact, one could say, everything. During your training with Dr. Vadim Polyakov, you asked him about his emotions, and he suggested how he works with his own emotions, or his relationship with them, that really helped him function well in life.
Yes. Thank you. It's a very good adding besides thoughts. Yes, he caught my curiosity, because he was such a always in Plato I saw him in a very different situations, interacting with different difficult people, and he never was out of this balanced emotional state. And at some point I asked, what do you do? And he said, I am watching myself from the side. It's a yoga method and I am using it for 20 years. So I decided I'll try too, because I've never been very balanced person emotionally. So I started to do it, leaving Leningrad and living in Toronto, and 2 years passing by, and I don't see any difference in me. I'm kind of watching myself. I register what I say. But what came to me that when you do this technique, watching, you have to be an emotional observer. You cannot be using your emotions saying what I was saying, idiot, you've done it again, or, oh, that was good. To work on balance on yourself, you have to be an emotional observer, just register, and it will be one day better and better and better, but it takes time.
Yeah.
May I just add that what you brought up, emotions, thoughts, are prerequisite in getting information coded in vibrations. Because whatever you're working with, a simple task, is this bottle of wine is a good quality? If this piece of cheese is better than that piece of cheese, and so on and so, or complex things, because game is absolutely endless when we get information using our tools, our methods that each of us developed, has prerequisite. We have to be in 0.0 state of mind when we're trying to retrieve information. And it's absolutely about anything. Very kind of widely used pendulum. It looks very infantile, kind of, too simple to use for some people, but in reality, it's incredible instrument, tool to get answer, yes or no answer to our questions, and different gradation, yes, 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 or yes, okay, depending on how it moves, but you have to be in 0.0 state of mind, and it's a training. Nobody can help you with that, unfortunately. You have to be sure that not even glimpse of thoughts, emotions enter your head. You are 0.0.
I believe you're suggesting that a person be in a more neutral state of mind and being.
Yes, you're absolutely right. It's exactly what it means to be absolutely neutral.
Mm-hmm.
It's a better, more understandable explanation.
In that state of consciousness, we can receive information aside from our desires for an outcome or perhaps our own conditioned biases or experiences.
Absolutely. You know, listening to many philosophers, including Krishnamurti, that I like to listen time to time, nobody is optimistic about our ability to get the truth, the objective information. Krishnamurti was saying we're too corrupted, we're too biased, and we're too selfish to get as it is information. But I know for sure that information coded in vibrations, if we follow specific rules of getting this information, as I mentioned, to be in a 0.0 state of mind, absolutely neutral, and just to register and evaluate this information coming from vibrations, we have the source of getting the truth, the source of getting an objective information. And this is, for me, it's the only source existing in the world.
Yeah. There's receiving information, then there's also intention or creating what you want to have happen. Sometimes it's referred to, in your case, when you were working with Dr. Polyakov, for example, when he was playing Tetris, that he was the receiver and you were the sender of energy. So when we are accessing information, how does that work? Or what is the relationship with that we can also intend or manifest certain outcomes to happen?
I think it's a training. I think that training is prerequisite in functioning in that invisible world. So you play, you try this way of focusing your thoughts that way, and then you choose. This is how you come up with new tools, your new methods.
You've had many years to play with subtle energy. And you were in Italy for 6 months, and then you went to Toronto, Canada.
Yeah, and I was looking for the research place. This is what I was dreaming about. And for some reason, I thought that it will be on every corner because it's so profitable kind of idea of use this type of energy to have better results on everything. But it didn't exist whatsoever and still doesn't exist in Canada. So I decided to open my private practice and started to, I was able to diagnose, and then I started to develop my way of healing and see where it will lead me. I just needed to go deeper into this subject. That was my dream, you know. So I started to do treatment too. I had no choice.
Yes. And you had your health and wellness center for, was it 35 years in Canada?
Yes.
Yes, and I imagine you learned a lot as well with the invisible world of subtle energy in that practice.
Of course, because each case was individual, right? And you develop your methods, how you can help people. You have your own, I have my own. We all, when with some experience, we using our methods, right? Yeah. At the beginning, we are using somebody's suggestions, and later, with experience, we are able to come up with more and more methods.
Yeah.
When your experience piling up, you learn.
At your clinic, were you also functioning as a physician, or were you primarily working with subtle energy and intuition?
Officially, I was not a physician. I didn't have my license. But for myself, I was still a physician, right? In my training, in my mind. So everything was combined.
Yeah.
Combined seeing pathology through subtle energy, through vibrations. I was applying it on my knowledge of these pathological situations, and that was giving me some extra angle. I saw, by the way, being a doctor and going through studying and working in the hospital for 12 years before leaving as a foundation, what gave me possibility to function in a world of vibrations. But it was much more than healing. It was about life.
Yeah.
I believe you mentioned in your book that you have found, perhaps maybe in the majority of cases, I don't know if it's all of the cases with your patients, that subtle energy is more powerful with healing than medications.
That's a very powerful statement. Look, there are situations when nothing can help. And unfortunately, it happens in life. And you're trying your best, but you cannot achieve any success. But in the majority of cases, subtle energy, healing with energy, at least it prevents person to have side effects of prescribed medication. And that was the original idea when I was looking for a system, how to avoid side effects. And so many of them, right, we're dealing with. This way of healing works on multi levels, physical, mental, emotional. Everything is involved when you use energy. This you understand not right away. For 3 years, I was not thinking besides physical condition. It later, watching patients, listening to what they say, I said, "Oh, that's interesting. It's a effect of much bigger than just physical conditions."
Meaning, you were able to help people with mental health and maybe even their spirituality.
Right. Right. Whatever a person needed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? It's a custom-made healing.
Right.
What person is lacking of, where problem is, you try to help in different levels.
Right. And that is the best kind of medicine and healing.
Yes.
Part of the healing that you did with your patients in Canada, I imagine also included you sharing with them how they can harness their own subtle energy and enhance their own lives.
When you have your private practice, you do and try to help what they asking for. A lot of people I found coming for help and expecting you to help and fix things. This we cannot deny, right? This is a reality. Some people were listening to how to control their thoughts because I was trying to share my vision that the necessity of sharing how thoughts playing the main role in all our problems. So of course you try to squeeze everything what what you know. Yes, some of them been listening, some of them been waiting for only my input. Yes, definitely I was teaching some of them methods of kind of psychic self-defense to what can they use as I was using in our Bilba to protect or cut off independence. There is a technique, you cut strings, ropes of energy between you and somebody whom you really in kind of feel dependent by power of that person, and it's sometimes very, very damaging. So there is a technique to cut off these ropes that I came up with, and definitely it exists too, because difficult to invent something absolutely new in that world. But you share the most important things. Control emotions, control thoughts, proper way of eating, how they can use herbs based on resonance, how they work for them, or what is taken together, what is not taken together because of interaction, bad interaction between things, because everything is interacting and exchanging energy. massive amount of possibilities to share. Okay, and hoping that it will be applied.
Yes. Now you are very interested in sharing beyond just healing and diagnosing with everyone how they can access this invisible world of subtle energy to enhance their lives for everything or anything in their lives.
Yes, you're absolutely right. It was always a big side effect of dealing with subtle energy. How do you use it in your daily life to make this life easier? Because life is, for a lot of us, periods of could be very, very difficult. But it's application of knowledge how this energy works. Could be applied and should be applied when we become aware of this invisible world of subtle energy. And this is a goal for our Strashon Institute that founded by Ilya and me, to make people become aware that what we see with our eyes is just a fraction of reality.
Mm-hmm. Ilya is your wonderful son who has been helping today with getting the best recording for this interview.
Book wouldn't be out without his help. It's him who put my thoughts into that direction and helped with illustration in the book. This is a book that he helped me to make it available for people. It's everything inside, organized and all kind of diagrams. It's him.
Yes, you have many wonderful exercises and activities in the book, including great diagrams to help illustrate how to connect with and harness this subtle energy. Are there any that you're willing to share here today for our listeners and viewers?
There are so many, there is no ethics involved. It could be in a group, it could be individually done in your quiet apartment or whatever. But there are so many different methods, and people are using them already accustomed to their methods of meditation. We all have preferences. There is no one type of meditation that would make you in a connection. Do whatever you're comfortable with. I have three, four meditations that that made me focused, developed my extrasensory perception, and this method requires some training to put in a sync your own rhythm of how energy, this divine energy, I call it divine energy, whatever, this energy that comes to us, and to meditate on it. And this method requires training to catch the pulse, because space is penetrated by streams of that energy that looks like a fishnet, where pulse goes down and then it goes up. And if you follow this speed, this pulse, when you train yourself to follow this speed inside you, first of all, on your hands, it's easier probably to sense where you concentrate on this stream of energy, and you ask yourself to follow. And then with some training, it took me 5 weeks to catch this pulse and follow this pulse on your palm, when it goes, pushes your palm down, 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 then it stops for 1 second and then it goes up, 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 and it's endless, okay? It's infinite kind of situation. When you learn this, when you catch this, learn to evaluate this pulse of energy outside your body, you can follow this stream of energy penetrating your head and going, as I said, through your head, along the spine, into your extremities. And you feel the stop for 1-2 seconds, that nothing happens, and then it goes back. And stop reflects of this trip of this energy through your aura. Okay, it needs time to reach you through your penetrating your aura. And this is a mighty, mighty form of meditation that probably not many people are practicing. I was taught by Vadim Polyakov, and I think this is the best method when you know, when you're able to sense it. Go into resonance with outside mighty energy that is a fuel. Fuel for everything, for us to be a human beings, to open our potential at the best. So this is the best method to recharge. You need just 10, when you know how to do it, 10, 15 minutes, 5 minutes even, to recharge yourself. And by the way, imagining that you're in a powerful place, that you spot, that you know the spot of the best energy that you experienced in your life, you can send yourself in that spot and do meditation there. It will be even more powerful. Okay? Being in a hologram of the place that originally has incredible energy and do this meditation there, sitting at your desk or in your office. Yeah, that would be for me the most productive type of meditation that teaches you how to concentrate, how to sense very, very subtle vibrations, and then application in daily life.
Do you connect with any spirits or beings, or how has your own sense of spirituality enhanced or informed you with subtle energy?
It's a very, very good question. Look, I don't work in that with entities. There are people who really using them. I don't. I know that consciousness has intelligence, and it's outside of me, and it's in a cosmic hologram that David Bohm came up with idea of the holographic nature of our world, and all vibrations from past, present, and future are stored in that cosmic hologram, where the plate is that quantum potential field in the deepest level of reality, or in our vocabulary, it's a vibrational world of subtle energy, is a plate. And all vibrations, without disappearance, nothing disappears in the form of vibrations, is stored there. And this cosmic hologram, and it's a very, very ancient idea of Akashic field, right? That have storage for everything. For me, it's a cosmic hologram. And this intelligent structure gives me possibility, and for all of us, to interact with it. This is how our thoughts, memory works. We go with our thoughts into that cosmic hologram and concentration goes into resonance with related vibrations, pull them out, and increase the vibrations to the form that we can sense, and we immediately have a 3D form in our head about what we are thinking about. This is how we interact with this outside consciousness. But we can train ourselves to pull out any needed vibrations. When we know this is how it works, nothing extra needs in training. We just apply our concentration and pull out and use holograms. You understand that this type of energy is the highest source that we have. And I use it. I use it for all kind of needs. When we need highest types of vibrations, or a little bit lower than highest type of vibrations in daily life, without talking to entities. But it's my method. Somebody will be working perfectly well with spirits and. I just know that information about anything is everywhere and at any time available for me.
Dr. Polyakov also taught you that with this holographic method that you can just have a person's name or an image of their face or even a small bit of audio of their voice, and you were able to check into or diagnose their health and much more about them.
Right. We talked before, you're using your knowledge of medical Qigong. You've been trained by evaluating meridians, condition of meridians, right? But you came up with your own idea. Why would I work on meridians when I can use organ that this meridian related to? So you come up with more application of what you've been taught. Right. Because you already into that you need your own input. So yes, specifically he never explained anything. If people would ask him, he would stop them asking, saying, "You'll try it, and later you will get it yourself." That was incredible. Yeah. Never, when I teach, I want to cut corners for people. I spent 7 years of developing my method of evaluation using holograms of people's nature. It took me many, many years of developing these statistics. I want people to know the product. It was not his method. You try, and so I used a holographic reliable method in evaluating nature of people, because I knew that nature of people, I already learned about it through quite a few years of being interested in chakras in Toronto. I developed holographic method of evaluating how each chakra is developed, because if we know how a chakra is developed, we knowing that each chakra is responsible for development of a specific side of our nature, if we know how it's developed, we can predict how person will be reacting in this or that situation. So I have this method, yes, of, as you said, using holograms for more than healing or diagnostic, because it's natural. When you learn how this world is functioning, even to some extent, as I said, lots will be discovered more. You know how to apply and what to expect from that.
Well, I'm grateful to you and Dr. Polyakov, because it sounds like he was a teacher who gave you very profound information, but also gave you the space and place to, and pun intended with the Ministry of Space, to develop your own method, really.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. By the way, Bengston, who was the president of SSE at the time, he was saying, what is needed to function in that world? Extreme curiosity. And this is what is absolute prerequisite. If we become into that state, come into that state of curiosity, we have to go further. We cannot stop on what we learned. We try to know more and more about this type of energy.
Dr. Polyakov went on to become the president of the Russian Parapsychological Society.
Yes, but I didn't know. It happened, we left in 89. In, I think, 91, 92, ministry stopped founding this type of laboratory, and everything was collapsing in USSR. So he lost his laboratory, didn't exist anymore, and he became a president of Russian Parapsychological Society, but it was not in my time.
Olga, is there anything else you want to share today about the invisible world and subtle energy?
Look, I just think that not knowing about this invisible vibrational world that we made out of its material, we contribute our vibrations to it, and we intimately connected to this world with even every thought. Not knowing about it, people are missing incredibly vital information that could help them to navigate in this life. Besides that, it's enhancing your vision of the world, your role in life, your place in the world. It's really enhancing your knowledge, previous knowledge. It could guide you in every unknown situation, because information coded in the vibrations, and if we train ourselves to get this information, could navigate us to choose to avoid mistakes. Application is absolutely endless. It's an endless game with simple things, funny things, and very life importancy things. And teach us, knowing how it works, to balance us, to control our thoughts, our emotions, and everything is coded in that invisible world that we can learn about and start to interact with consciously. We live in this world anyway, we're part of it anyway, but we function unconsciously in with it.
Olga, thank you so much for being curious, for your many years as a physician, for your years as a researcher, and continuing to follow your heart and mind helping others. I've thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. Thank you so much for being with me today.
Emily, thank you so much. You are an incredible person to share it, because you know so much, and there is a resonance.
Hmm.
Thank you so much.
Yes. And for those of you listening or watching, thank you for being with us. You are the reason that we are here.
Book 2 in the New Thinking Aloud Dialogues book series is a tribute to parapsychologist Russell Targ, celebrating his 90th birthday.